Okay, let's do this. So here we have the end of this week's parasha. Is going to go back to the holidays and give us some of the halachas of the holidays. So it says like this, as we see in front of us. This is the beginning of it, so it's easy. Shmaratz Chodesh Aviv, observe the month of Aviv. That's not the name of a month, obviously, so we're not discussing that anyway. And offer a Passover sacrifice. That's the big thing we got to discuss, which we're going to discuss tonight. We offer a Pesach sacrifice. Even though it's middle of the summer, we read it now. And as we've said many times from the Hasidic sources, anything you read during the week is applicable to that time of the week. So on Parshas Boy, some of the rabbis, when it talks about the Jews leaving Egypt, would say Hallel. They would dance, even though it's the middle of the winter, and it's not Pesach time, but that's the way they do it. So on some level, even though it seems to us like, what? We're talking about Passover, and it's hot and humid outside? The answer is yes. Because since we read in this week's Parsha, there's some type of authentic aura, or whatever the words are we use in today's modern world of what we do, and it's applicable to today as well. So what does it say? Watch it, sacrifice the Passover sacrifice to Hashem, your God. Skip the end of it, fine. Here goes the puzzle we're discussing tonight. Number two. You shall slaughter the Passover sacrifice for Hashem from the flock on the herd. Okay. And the next pasuk, you shall not eat any leavened with it. For 7 days thereafter, you shall eat unleavened bread. Let's call it matzah. So it says you shall sacrifice it. And now these words at the beginning of verse 3 we're discussing, we will discuss, you shall not eat any chametz with it. So what does it mean you shall not eat any chametz with it? So if you read the pasuk as is, if we're Karaites, and we're not going into anything deep, just simply reading the pasuk, we shall not eat any chametz with it. And then it says, for 7 days thereafter, you shall eat matzah, bread of distress, and not eat chametz. So if you would be a Karaite, I would ask you, what is the time period constraining you of not eating chametz? When are you biblically not allowed to eat chametz? Very simple. For 7 days. 7 days means from the beginning of Passover night, the 15th, through the 7 days of Eretz Yisrael. 8 days in America, it's irrelevant for now. 7 days, you don't eat it. What about eating it Erev Pesach? So if you're reading this pasuk, you should not have a problem with that. You should say, no, Erev Pesach, biblically speaking, without going rabbinic, biblically speaking, you should be permitted to eat chametz. Not a problem. If you're reading this pasuk, it's very simple. There's nothing. I did not say anything wild. I'm just reading a pasuk to you. Now, as we've discussed in the past, the Pesach sacrifice is a unique sacrifice. Because although every sacrifice, the moment it becomes kosher for either the slaughtering or when the blood is on the altar, whatever the moment it's officially called a kosher sacrifice, irrelevant for the exact timing in those 6 minutes from when it takes you to slaughter and spritz, the fact is the moment it is slaughtered, you are now obligated or permitted to eat from the meat, if it's a sacrifice to eat from the meat. Obviously, an all burnt offering is irrelevant for this conversation. But as far as any offering that you would be eating of its meat, you meaning you as a person who offered it, or you meaning in this conversation the Kohen, doesn't make a difference, same conversation, the moment it is considered a kosher sacrifice is the moment that you would then land out being permitted to eat it. How long you'd be allowed to eat it for, that would depend on the sacrifice. Some of that day, some of to the next morning, some of 2 days, that's not for us. But the moment you begin, when it becomes what's called a kosher sacrifice, is when you're allowed to eat it. The only exception is going to be the Passover sacrifice. Because the Pesach sacrifice is slaughtered on the afternoon before the holiday, from midday, of what we call Erev Pesach, slaughtered on midday Erev Pesach, and it is not allowed to be eaten until nighttime. In fact, if you eat it before nighttime, you violated a Passover commandment. Because it says somewhere else, we're not showing it now on the screen, it says you're supposed to eat it that night. Eat it that night is to mean exclusion. Do not eat it before that night. So when you slaughter the sacrifice, we're going to say the earliest time possible, 12:30 Erev Yom Tov. 12:30 Erev Pesach, you slaughter the sacrifice. That meat is not permitted to be eaten at that point in time. When can you then eat the meat? You need to meet at that night as well. Okay, so now, that's all basics. We have two basic laws here. The basics of, it seems like from the pasuk, we'll see, it might not be so clear, that there's only 7 days of not eating chametz, 7 days. And if you're going to read it that way, so when it says like this, let's read the pasuk inside, you shall not eat any chametz with it. It's very simple. It means when you slaughtered the sacrifice in the afternoon, yeah, you can eat chametz at that point in time. But when you want to eat it, when you're obligated to eat of the Pesach sacrifice, which begins on the 15th at night, at that moment in time, by the way, you shall not eat anything with it. Means don't eat any chametz with it. Means when you're eating the Passover sacrifice. All ABC, according to one man of the Gemara, as a Karaite, as we're saying, just reading the pasuk as is. If you walked away right now, and I would ask you, when are you not allowed to eat chametz? 7 days of Passover only. What does it mean, loy soichel olav? Do not eat anything chametz with it, we're going to interpret the words open pasuk with it means when you're eating the Passover sacrifice, don't eat chametz as well. All simple stuff. Now, if I want to, can I share? Do you see the share now or not? Did I just switch screens with you or not?
You're still on the same screen? Oh, yeah. Now you're Pesach in 28.
Okay, perfect. 24. Fine. Steven, you notice we switched. Fine. Good, good, good.
Okay at the bottom, please.
Okay at the bottom.
Cookies.
Okay. Thank you. Now, here, the Gemara, we're going to go up a little bit. I hate doing that when you're on screen there. There's going to be an argument right now. And the argument right now is, hold on. It's right here. The argument, we're going to get to that present. The argument here says that we have an argument between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yossi. Now, Rabbi Yehuda, third line in English, is not according to his bit. We're a little further down. What is it taught? Here's Rabbi Yehuda's statement. Rabbi Yehuda, we're going to read from the thing. What is the case about which these sages disagree? Okay, I'm right here on the screen. Right here. And it was taught in a brisa. One who eats or derives benefit from chametz, whether before its time, interesting next word, starting at midday on Erev Pesach, or after its time, chametz over which Pesach has elapsed, you had chametz over Pesach and now it's after Pesach, transgresses a negative mitzvah. During its time, on Passover itself, one who eats leavened bread transgresses a negative mitzvah and gets karis, stronger level. These are the words of Rabbi Yehuda. So if you stop now, Rabbi Yehuda says, by the way, what I said before is not true. What I said before, the chametz is only not allowed to be eaten during the 7 days of Pesach itself. That's not Rabbi Yehuda's theory. Rabbi Yehuda's theory is you cannot eat chametz right now, we'll say for easier, at least 7.5 days, because it starts on the evening before Pesach, Erev Pesach, and it goes through Pesach. And by the way, Rabbi Yehuda says, any chametz that was yours in a Jewish owner's possession during Pesach itself is forbidden eternally, until it gets moldy. So you technically are not allowed to eat chametz when? Pesach chametz can't be eaten forever. And anyway, you can't eat chametz Erev Pesach as well. Which again, going back, as you guys pay attention, switching screens, that is not what this pasuk seems to say. Rabbi Yehuda is going to have to explain this pasuk. This pasuk says you shall not eat any chametz with it for 7 days. That's not the same thing. Okay, but that's Rabbi Yehuda. Now we're scrolling down a little bit. Rabbi Shimon is who we just quoted the whole time. Rabbi Shimon says, one who eats or derives benefit from chametz, both before its time, Erev Pesach, and after its time, which we're not for now, but again, Pesach that's it over, does not transgress any prohibitions. During its time, of course it is. Right? We're not going to do the next set. So Reb Shimon's what we said before. The only time you're obligated, liable for eating chametz is during Pesach itself. Now we're scrolling down, trying not to get too annoyed with the eyes. And it says like this. My time of Yehuda. Because we said to ourselves, how we set this up beautifully, Reb Shimon makes perfect sense. We have a pasuk in this week's parasha. We're feeling the halo of Pesach among ourselves. We're feeling the redemption among ourselves. So we have like this. Rabbi Yehuda has an issue. We have a pasuk we said before that says for 7 days. And Rabbi Yehuda says that's not true. I don't have 7 days. I have 7.5 days plus post forever and ever. Gemara asks, open Gemara. I don't need anything right now. What is the reason for the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda? The Gemara explains. Rabbi Yehuda has 3 psukim. He's not a karaite, literally. He's a karaite in the biggest sense of the word. He puts the whole Torah in when he starts talking. So the 3 verses of Rabbi Yehuda, which regard this prohibition. And in Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, each one teaches the prohibition applies to a different time. One verse, pay attention. We're not going to look it on the screen, but is chametz shall not be eaten. That's in Exodus 13:3. Another verse, and all that which is chametz you shall not eat. Torah doesn't repeat itself. Look closely, that's 12:20. And a third verse, we just know that one. We know that one, that's right here. Third verse, you shall not eat chametz with it. So now, I have 3 psukim. There's no hiccup in the Torah. No hiccup in the Torah. What are we doing with 3 here? So as Gemara says, one verse indicates that there's a prohibition against eating leavened bread from before its time. One indicates after its time. And one verse indicates during its time. So, wait a second. Very good. Rabbi Yehuda has 3 psukim. Rabbi Yehuda has 3 psukim. But by Rabbi Yehuda, we're switching screens, pay attention. What about this pasuk here? It says 7 days. So Rabbi Yehuda can say, I think it's obvious, Rabbi Yehuda is going to say, when it says you shall not eat anything chametz with it, we before said with it meant when you are eating the Pesach sacrifice, don't eat chametz, that's limited to 7 days. We're not saying that right now. Why? Because if you look closely, hold on, if you look closely over here, this prohibition about eating leaven before its time, you see this right here, can I do the screen like that? This pasuk, I just moved over. This pasuk, you shall not eat bread. Our pasuk is going on what? Before its time, which means Erev Pesach. So it means he's not reading this pasuk the way we just read it before. Before we read this pasuk, like, right, you shall not eat anything with it, means when you're eating it for 7 days. Makes sense. Rabbi Yehuda say, no. You shall not eat anything with it means before. What do you mean with it? From the time you're slaughtering it. So I have a simple argument in the Gemara how to read this pasuk in front of us. When it says the word in it's this word in Hebrew, alav, don't eat with it. What does with it mean? So with it means one of two things. Either with it means when you're eating it, or with it means when you're slaughtering it. It says 7 days. Rabbi Yehuda will have a couple answers to that. Easiest answer could be there's a semicolon there anyway. Other answer could be that, we, as we said before, it's a different level. That's not for us right now at this moment. But what we have here, back to the screen here, is that we have now, Rabbi Yehuda says, I make a lot of sense. I have, how to get blue like this? Hold on. Next this. Good. Rabbi Yehuda says, I have three psukim. Now, obviously, the Gemara, next question, because you guys are, what do you call it? You guys are smart guys learning. Next question would be the most obvious question. And Rabbi Shimon, what is he doing with three verses? Most obvious question around. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, you want to be a Karaite. I like the idea of being a Karaite. But you want to be a Karaite. Rabbi Yehuda has a better Karaite version. He's got three verses. You got to come up with now two different answers. So of course he's going to come up with two different answers. Here goes. The Gemara asks Rabbi Shimon to interpret these three verses. Gemara explains. One, vague, by the way, doesn't say what it is, which by the way, I want to remind you here also for a second. When you see over here, from this verse in 13.3 and this verse in 12.2, it doesn't say which time it applies to. Only the third one might be, because that's going on the slaughtering time, which is Erev Pesach. He does not say which two of these verses, 13.3 and 12.2, what time they go on. We'll get back in a second. Reb Shimon Chazman, what does Reb Shimon do with three verses? Gemara explained. Very easy. One verse is to teach us about the prohibition during its time. Well, that's obvious. That's the only one he agrees with. Next one, the verse, now which shall live and shall not eat, is required for another halacha, as it was taught, that it's not only I've derived that leavened bread is prohibited only if it became leavened on its own, through its own natural leaven processes. I'm not a baker, I don't know what that means exactly. Through own natural pasuk. But where do I derive that even due to another substance? Second pasuk. What about a third pasuk? He comes up with a third answer, not for us right now. Fine. Now, back to this. So we have a very basic machlokes right now. Very real machlokes. How many days are you usher to eat chametz? Either is it only 7 days, or 7.5 plus eternal on chametz like that. A practical difference that we came up with, very simple, and I wrote a practical, is how to understand the pasuk in this week's parasha. What does Rilaysaycha Olav mean? And now we're going to delve into Rabbi Yehuda a little bit. Rabbi Yehuda now has a different difference we're going to discuss tonight. Here it says, there are three psukim in front of you. Now, Stephen, if Stephen was awake right now, on his full A game right now, and Charles is enjoying this right now, I can pick on him this time, there's something very strange here, Stephen. You're an attorney. Let's do the order the stuff goes. We said this pasuk right here is going on Erev Pesach. We don't know if this is during Pesach or after Pesach, or this is during Pesach or after Pesach. One thing's for sure when you look at these three verses. Okay, I said it before. Let's do the order of the psukim. First one says Exodus 13:3. Okay. Second one is Exodus 12:20. What? That seems a little out of order. If we know how to count from pre-1a, it goes 12 before 13. Here it's going 13 before 12. And the next one that says Deuteronomy, that's way after. So the psukim, as far as the Torah goes, not in order. Okay, but we said this three times. No, three times are not in order, because this one, for sure, the last one mentioned is going on Erev Pesach. So the what's in front of us right now, which is very odd, is that Rabbi Yehuda chose to mention three psukim. He has no apparent pattern before us. No apparent pattern. Because he's mentioning the second one in the Torah, then the first one in the Torah, and the third one in the Torah. So it's either 2, 1, 3. And if you're going by time periods, we don't know 1 and 2 what they go, but we know 3 is number 1. The last pasuk he quotes is for Erev Pesach, which is the first one. So we have an issue now going to Rabbi Yehuda. If we're just reading Rabbi Yehuda, forget about anything we said about Rabbi Shimon tonight. Reading Rabbi Yehuda alone, we have a problem. We don't know the order of the stuff he said. Now, so now we're going to do a question based on Charles might have heard of the Sefer. Charles might have heard of the Sefer called the Minchas Chinuch. Charles, have you ever heard of the Minchas Chinuch? It's a Sefer. Have you heard of it ever? We're going to do a Minchas Chinuch question right now.
No, never heard of it.
Okay, here goes the Minchas Chinuch question.
Nobody mentions it.
Never gets mentioned in these Tuesday night classes. So it goes like this. This is a very serious question here. Now, the Minchas Chinuch has a concept that we're going to accept for right now. Depends on how much time we have tonight, we might get rid of it. But as an exception, it's a Minchas Chinuch in multiple places, by the way. So he takes this next concept extremely seriously, and we won't go into how serious he takes it, but it's something that he repeats throughout his 613 mitzvahs. It comes up many times. The Minchas Chinuch proves from a Rashi, The question is how much the Rashi is applicable. He proves somewhere else as well. And he has like this. Whenever you're going to give someone a warning before he's going to transgress something, the warning has to be pasuk specific, if that's even English. It means if a guy's going to say, I'll give you an easy example. He does not give this example. Just thought of it right now. It's like this. In the Ten Commandments, it says, lo signoivu, which everyone says means you shall not steal. No, lo signoivu in the Ten Commandments does not mean you shall not steal. In the Ten Commandments, it means you shall not kidnap. I don't know why everyone thinks it means steal. I guess steal and kidnap is similar, but not in English at least. Not even similar at all. I mean, you're stealing someone, I guess. So imagine like this. According to the Mechas Hanach, he does not give this example, but it would be obvious according to the Mechas Hanach. If let's say you see someone walking into a store in New York, because not in Florida, and they want to steal something, because in Florida they shoot people who steal, and they're having a protest because they're keeping it politically correct, and the guy's about to walk into a store and steal, and you tell the guy, wait, if you steal, you're going to violate a Torah commandment. The guy says, really? What Torah commandments say? 10 commandments, lo signoivu. And the guy steals. You know what happens to him? Nothing. What do you mean nothing? Because you gave him the wrong warning. What do you mean you gave him the wrong warning? Because the words lo signoivu, in the Ten Commandments is referring to kidnapping. And you told the guy, you didn't tell him, don't steal, because what? Because the Torah says don't kidnap. Okay, I don't care, I'm not kidnapping. So it doesn't work that way. And that not only because kidnapping is stricter, by the way, that would be reversed as well. If a guy's about to kidnap someone and you tell him the pasuk like don't steal from Parshas Mishpatim, it also wouldn't work. Because the answer is, according to Mechas Hanach, the assumption is, the basic premise is, in Jewish law, in order to properly punish someone, you need a proper warning. Okay, a proper warning, by the way, as we just said, is case-specific. Even though the word lo signoif can be interpreted as don't steal, even though 90% of the population doesn't even realize it doesn't mean don't steal, it means don't kidnap, and most people think it means don't steal, doesn't make a difference. When you tell a guy don't do something, and I'm warning you from a positive Torah, you got to be case-specific. So Rebbe Chassanuch has an obvious statement here. Rebbe Yehuda, I love this passage in the Gemara in front of us, that Charles is trying to figure out 3-2-1-1-2-3, we're trying to figure this out here, but this is not just a theoretical concept here, this is a very serious concept. You have to know which one of these three verses, each one of the three verses apply to which one of the three cases. We have three verses in front of us, 13:3, 12:20 in Exodus, and we have Devarim 16:3, and we have one before the time, one during time, and after the time. But we don't know which one's which. That doesn't work. Now, me and you already thought of tonight, because we're already smart, and we already read the Pasuk in this week's parasha, and we said, Lo Yisoich Olov has to be before time, because that's going on Shechita. Okay, we figured one out. We still got a problem. We have two Pesukim and two time periods. So if you give the wrong one, the man walks free. So you have to know what right one to give him. And that's the Mechas Chinuch's serious question. And Mechas Chinuch says, listen, I'm going to have to analyze now the whole Shas, that's what he does with all his mitzvahs, and figure out, if we can figure out, which pasuk goes for what. Because that's the only way to figure this out right now. Although we can't be playing games like this. Okay? So, second case the Mechas Chinuch wants to say, second problem, or second issue, is like this. We have something called Bein Hashmashes, between the days. Now, according to Reb Shimon, this won't apply. Because Reb Shimon only obligates someone who eats during Pesach. But according to Yehuda, that person cannot eat Erev Pesach, a person cannot eat Chametz that was around on Pesach, after Pesach, that means in the twilight period between Erev Pesach and Pesach, when you're realizing I got a 3-hour Seder ahead of me, I better eat something now. Or after Pesach, when you can't wait for Abdullah, you haven't had pizza in 7 days, and at that moment we will remember, Charles has to remind to call Stephen Matzah Pesach this year and ask him if he's ready to drive 5 hours of pizza finally. Why? Because Matzah Pesach, you know, pizza for five days. It's like a friend of mine told me recently, by the way, that's amazing. During the 9 days, no one could survive without pizza. They need to make a siyum and have some meat. And during Matzah Pesach, people can't survive 7 days without a piece of pizza. The Matzah Pesach, they're running for a piece of pizza. It's how the mind works with the Yetzirah, which is a schmooze, not for ourselves right now. Whatever the terrorists tell you to do, you're doing the opposite. Okay, sidebar as a joke. Now, so here we have a serious question. What about a guy who's eating twilight? So now he's eating at Erev Pesach. Let's say we're going to assume like tonight, I don't know the exact timing, 7:30 in New York is when it changes over from Tuesday to Wednesday in Jewish law. And now it's 7:29 and the guy's eating and he's going to extend. Remember, let's say it takes us 3 minutes. You have to eat a kazayas. It's the only way to be liable. Half a kazayas, you're not getting punished. You're not allowed to eat a half a kazayas, you don't get punished. So now it takes him 3 minutes to eat it. He starts eating at 7:29 and he's going to finish eating at 7:31. Does he get punished? According to Yehuda, he ate a kazayas of chametz during a time when he's not allowed to eat it. But according to Mechas Hanukkah, he says, no. That's not the same violation. That's crossing over the timeline. The first minute and a half, he's on the verse, we're making up right now, 13:3, if it's correct. And the next 5 minutes, he's on the 12:20, or reverse. For this conversation, it's the same question. So how is a guy going to be liable if he's eating it on, during banishmashes, during twilight, if the 3-minute time period covers over the course of 2 days, the guy's not going to be liable. Are we going to say such a thing? That's a wild leniency to say. Now again, if you're going to say it's all from the same one violation, if that was possible, if you didn't say I need three verses, or we wouldn't need a specific verse for each violation, and you could say, you know what, let's say you want to be a liberal, and you want to say, you know what, I could use any one of these three verses, 1, 2, and 3 in front of us, to any one of the time periods. I don't need that specific. Review this vague on the page. Let's be vague. As long as I say, don't eat chametz from either one of these three verses, during any one of these three time periods, you're going to be violated, then okay. Then if the guy eats it during the twilight period, before Pesach to Pesach, or Pesach to after Pesach, and I mention one of these three verses, you're done. But the Mechasenach doesn't do that. He says, no, you got to be very case specific. You have to be really the exact type of thing. So then you can't have it. That means a guy will not violate eating chametz if he crosses the timeline within eating the three, if the 3 minutes is crossing a timeline. Following that, Steve, that makes sense? Charles says yes. Okay. So again, we have to know what we're doing here. So the Mishnah Sinai is saying, don't think this is a theoretical case only. Rabbi Yehuda, you left us in the lurch here. Now Habda wants to say, based on what Charles was saying before, we'll make it to the next Mishnah Sinai volume. Habna wants to say this. Wait a second. No. You got an issue here. I'll tell you why. Because the order of these psukim are very strange. As we said before, you're starting with the second verse in the Torah. Then you're going to the first. Then you're going to the third. What? That doesn't make any sense. So possibly, as a hint, maybe Yehuda wasn't that not knowledgeable that Shemois 13 really goes after Shemois 12. We're going to assume Yehuda knew the difference. So that is what Charles hinted at before. And Rabbi Yehuda was telling us this. I mentioned the order of the verses. This one. The first one I mentioned, 13:3, that's the most important verse. Because you know why? As Charles said before, that's during Pesach itself. In the end, during Pesach is a more volatile situation. Why? Because I'm scrolling up to what we did before here. And what did we say here? Rabbi Yehuda said, if one eats or derives benefit from chametz, whether before its time or after its time, leavened bread or Pesach, he transgresses a negative violation. But during its time, he also is liable for karas. So clearly, even though Rabbi Yehuda says all three time periods are a serious violation, okay, the word serious has different consequences. If you eat chametz before or you eat chametz after, you get lashes. We don't love lashes, but you're going to get lashes. If you eat chametz during, you're going to get karas. So it could be. You'll tell me if you guys like this. Is that the first pasuk Rabbi Yehuda mentions, 13:3, is telling you that's the main concept. As Charles said before, first one is the main one during Pesach. Why is it told the main one? I'll tell you why it's the main one. Because you're liable to curse if you do that. Then Rabbi Yehuda says, what about before and after? Yeah, before and after, I'll tell you to do simple. I'll do in the other psukim. Exodus 12 comes before Deuteronomy 16. Yes, in time it's the opposite. This is going Erev Pesach and this is going Matzah Pesach. But I don't care about that. They're the same level. I'm already out of order because I started with the middle one. So once I started with the pasuk discussing during, because that's the most volatile, that's the most serious, that's the serious crime. I'm not in the sequence of chronological, and I'm not in the sequence of the Torah going in the right order. Okay, so now once I got that away, let me do what I can do. So I'll tell you what I'm going to do. First pasuk, leavened bread shall not be eaten, is going on during Pesach itself. The next pasuk, and all that which is leavened you shall not eat, Exodus 12 is going on Matzah Pesach, but that's the first pasuk, and then you shall not eat no leavened bread. That's not in English. You shall eat chametz with it. As we know, that's going on Erev Pesach. So yes, in the order, we don't have a good order here. We have pasuk number 2, pasuk number 1, pasuk number 3. In the time-wise, we're going middle, after, before. But I'll tell you what I am doing. The first one first is going to be the most important, which is what Charles said before. That's got to come first. The current one's got to come first. What am I doing after? Yeah, I'll go in the order of the Torah. Yeah, I'm going to go in the order of the Torah. No, I don't have a problem with that. So, what we have here, if that's true, what Habna is saying, an original, if that's true, what Habna is saying, then we have an order for Rabbi Yehuda. And we're answering the Mechas Chana's question. The Mechas Chana wanted to know, Rabbi Yehuda, you blanked on us. You're not telling us direction here, what to do. We got a serious issue here. Yeah, we have a serious issue. I gave you the answer. Pay attention. Use your noggin and realize that the order of the Pesukim is not as simple as it looks. And because the order of the Pesukim is not as simple as it looks, I'm going to give you a hint on how to go.